Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue with part two of the two-part series titled, He Must Increase.
Spiritually, it is extremely costly to be a Christian and have to live below your standard of Christianity. Very costly to your spirit. Your spirit hurts and it pains and it groans to be surrounded with a healthy body that can carry great anointing. Your spirit hungers for a body that can stay up and pray at night if it's time to pray. Not one that says, oh my gosh, oh, I weigh so much, I put so much weight on myself, I can't stay awake if I wanted to. Oh, I'm so out of shape. And even if you look like you're in shape, you're out of shape. I need to be in better shape, even though I don't look like I'm out of shape. I know I need to be in better shape because I'm not in the shape I was in before. So I had to buffet that flesh and get on a bike and run and do something. Brother Hagin taught us something in school. He said, your body will limit the amount of anointing you can carry. He's like, well, what is that? What does the body have to do with the spirit? Well, the body profits you. You need a body to get around this earth. Now, suppose you don't take care of your body and your body gets sick and worn out, because a lot of people have died because they didn't take care of the body. And yet the anointing was still there. God was still wanting to use them, but their body gave out. And you know, your body is your license in this earth. Without your license, you can't function. That's why spirits are trying to possess somebody, because they can't function. Evil spirits are trying to get a hold of a body so they can have their influence in earth, because they can't have it apart from that. They need a body. God's trying to have his influence in earth. He's not going around just doing things. He needs a body. He needs a yielded life. He needs somebody to be a living sacrifice for him. He needs that. Your body is your license in the earth. It's your license. Without a body, you have no license. That's why Satan doesn't just come do stuff. He has to work through people, because he's got to find bodies that are willing. But all of this comes along with a willing body is one that will decrease in its own desires and say, God, have your way. I mean, it's so hard to let go of the love of the world. And what I mean by the love of the world, a lot of us don't even think we're guilty of the love of the world. When I say love of the world, some of you are thinking love sin, love fornication. I didn't say the love of sin. I said love of the world. One thing about the love of the world is the love of the world also comes in the definition of I don't see me as a conscious person at all times as an ambassador for Christ. Sometimes I forget. Because a godly person doesn't forget that. It's always before them. And I'm in the boat. Sometimes I may forget. Not as much as I used to, but sometimes I may forget. I'm growing and developing. But some of us may be at the point of our spiritual development where we go all week and don't think about God. Or go all week and don't think we're ambassadors. Or when we say something to people, we forget we're ambassadors. We all been there, so I'm not throwing any rocks. I live in a glass house too. You see what I'm saying? But I know that I'm more cognizant and conscious of the fact that Jesus must increase in me. And when the decisions come, I've got to not consider my ideal. Because they that love me keep my commandments, God said. And they that love him don't have the love of the world. So they that don't keep his commandments by default have the love of the world. You know, you remember geometry? This equal to that. If that's equal to that, then this therefore must be equal to that. See, you got a lot of that going on. If I have the love of the world and the love of God's not in me, then those are opposites. And then if the love of God is to keep his commandments, well, in that case, to keep his commandments is to love God. To keep his commandments is to keep his word. To love the world is to not keep his commandments. Yeah, but I don't really love the word. No, by default, it's an equation. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him, and you do love the world. Because that's all there is God in the world, the way of the world and the way of God. That's all that exists. And that's the absolutes we don't like to hear. But John had a great revelation, and he's trying to get it to us. If the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not. And if you love the Father, you'll keep his commandments. Now, we covered that. And we also looked at another absolute that Jesus did. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. No man can serve money and God too. And we talked about the fact that your God, whatever you love is your God. Now, love, I stop and think of what's the ideal of loving God. If you love God, what's the ideal scenario? You know, You honor him. You serve him. You worship him. You like to be with him. You like to spend time with him. So therefore, if you love God, you like to pray. You like to obey his word. You like to learn his word. You like to spend time around him, hearing more from him, learning more of his word and doing his word and obeying it. That's what you do if you love your God. Now, people who don't go to church or people who are born again and maybe do go to church who don't do those things, you have to question, what do they really love?
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
No man can serve money and God too. And we talked about the fact that your God, whatever you love is your God. Now, love, I stop and think of what's the ideal of loving God. If you love God, what's the ideal scenario? You know, you honor him. You serve him. You worship him. You like to be with him. You like to spend time with him. So therefore, if you love God, you like to pray. You like to obey his word. You like to learn his word. You like to spend time around him, hearing more from him, learning more of his word and doing his word and obeying it. That's what you do if you love your God. Now, people who don't go to church or people who are born again and maybe do go to church who don't do those things, you have to question, what do they really love? I know people that keep their car spotless. I know people, if it rains and a drop gets on it, they rewash it and wax it. You know? Now we'll say, I'm picking their example. I hadn't found yours yet. So before we say, let me keep shooting around there. There's folks who take their eating serious. I can't make it if I don't get 3 square. I'm famished. Missed one meal and said it famished. I said, you got enough stored up for a long time. You're far from famished. You know, you're not famished. But people be talking about how hungry they are and this, that, and the other. And you're looking at them and say, no, don't tell me nothing about being hungry. You stored it up. You got it saved up for a rainy day. A couple of rain, for a hurricane, for a flood, for a tornado. You're not hungry. See, now that may be your thing. Just about everybody's got their weakness. But see, we don't want to talk about, because there are guys that love their car more than they love God. And there's people who love their food more than they love God. And there's people who love their house more than they love God. Ooh, girl, I built my dream house. I always wanted this house. You know, or somebody go out and buy a boat and they're like, oh, I'm going boating. You know, I don't get a lot of time. And, you know, it's not a sin to miss church, but I'm going boating. You shouldn't miss church just to go boating. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's a sin to miss church to go boating. I'm not going to say that either. But you got to stop and think what your priorities are. And you need to see how you plan things. You know, a lot of times we get in jobs, because I've been in jobs like that before, where you get in a job and you're working Sunday, and I start believing God and do the best I can to get out or for God to give me favor or something, but you got some Christians don't care. Sunday's just another day. But consider these things, because see, that's putting God first. Now, I know we have to pay for things, but you stop and think, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these other things should be added. No, you don't understand. God ain't going to add nothing if I don't get this job right here on Sunday. If I don't take this over here, if I don't take this job that's paying me $50,000 a year, but I got to move my family to where there's no word church at. And I got to go to some offbeat church that's really not teaching the word. See, when you make decisions like that, you're still guilty of love of the world. We don't realize that. Yeah, but you know, the Bible says pay for things. Yeah, it does say pay for things, but it also says put God first and all those other things be added. So you had to keep things in prayer. And I know these are hard decisions, but the only reason I have to be the guy caught with preaching the hard stuff, because some people are afraid to preach it. You know, a lot of this stuff is not popular, but these are the kind of things that when you get your mind right to where you see these things, you make the godly decisions, because some of you are having more fruit in your life now than you've ever had. Some of you know God's doing things in your life that hadn't been happening before. And some of you been in church all your life, or majority of your life, but you haven't had things happen. It happens like this because you got to say what you got to say. You got to say what's good for people, not what people like. Because, you know, a lot of us fall in that category of itching ears. In the latter days, there'll be men with itching ears seeking only the things they want to hear. Right. Those things that are pleasing to them. But see, we have to say the things that are going to work. And the things that are going to work often have to say you have to work. You have to do something. You have to apply the word, because I'm interested in fruit in my life and fruit in your life. Because that's the standard God's putting on you, and it should come up. Come up hither. God never says, stay where you are. He always says, come up hither. He's always pulling you up. But you know, each step, there's a greater anointing. And these are the kind of things that you begin to get a revelation. As you mature and grow up, you won't have any problem with them saying, love not the world, neither things in the world. If the love of the world is in you, love God's not. You don't have any problem with that because you're like, well, it doesn't matter. What? Just show me how to love God. I'm loving him. Just show me. It won't be a question like, well, how little can I do to get by? What's the very minimum I can do and still make it into heaven? God has not drawn that line for you. So you better not roll the dice on that. He has not drawn. We don't know where enough is enough. We know that if you confess with your mouth and you live in obedience to the word, you're going to heaven. We know that. And we don't know how much you can do, the little you can do to get by. Get rid of that mentality of just get by. I don't ever want to just get by at anything. I don't want to ever just do good enough in anything, at work, here, or anywhere else. I always want to try to do better than just get by. But you know, you got people with a lazy flesh, and they want to do just enough to get by. How little can I do? Well, it's funny. If you go out in the crop and you say, how little can I sow? It's funny why you reap so little. Because you sow just enough to get by, you're going to reap just enough to get by. If you sow more to give to have abundance, you'll have more to give. If you do all you can in people, in studying the word, you have more to give to people. You can give abundance. And you'll draw people whom you can minister to. We talked about the three things to prevent you. John lists the three sins which are typical of individuals who won't allow Jesus to increase in their life. Anyone who has made a god of his own comfort and of his own ambition in any part of life is the servant of the lust of the flesh. I'm going to read that again. Anyone who has made a god of his own comfort. That means I live to make myself comfortable. I can't be happy till I have the right house. I can't be happy till I have the right car. I can't be happy till I have the right job. I can't be happy till people think of me a certain way. I can't be happy till I feel esteem based on other people thinking well of me. If your esteem is ever based on what other people think of you, then something's wrong. The only person your esteem should be put on is what Christ thinks of you. Everybody can think the devil of me, but if God thinks I'm doing a good job, that's all that ought to be important. That's all to be important, because you know how many people are governed by what other people think? Think about it. I mean, we say that easy, but I would dare to say well over 95% of people are really make their decisions based on what other people think. They don't do it when they should. You know, like you got a husband and a wife, and the husband likes the wife to look a certain way. She don't care what he thinks. She ain't going to dress that way. Or not going to wear this or that. And then the husband, the wife want him to look this way. He ain't going to do that. So that's when you should care what the other person thinks. The two of you together, your body's hers, her body's yours. You should care then, but that's when people don't care. But the rest of it, then they care. You know, I don't understand. I got to have such and such, or I'm not going to feel like a success. You got to have what the majority of your friends have, or you don't feel like success.
Today's message has been part two of the two-part series titled, He Must Increase.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God. Develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO ministry, prayerfully and financially.